As I'm sure most of you are aware, today is the day of our annual parish meeting. For those of you who are not familiar with the Episcopal Church, we gather once a year as a congregation and we go over some rather business-like things that we all have to do in order to keep the life of this parish going. And we cover the budget and we cover reports from various officers in the vestry and we elect new vestry members. At that meeting, many of you were there. You were given a booklet that had all the written reports from everybody, and in that booklet was a report from the rector, because one of my primary jobs at the annual parish meeting is to kind of give you my perspective on sort of the state of the parish, how things were in 2015, and what 2016 holds. What we told you at the annual parish meeting, Phil and I both had the same experience. The senior warden and I both wrote our reports and met the deadline, which was December the 9th. And so I didn't know I was moving to Austin when I wrote that report, and neither did Phil. So neither of our reports mentions that at all. But nonetheless, what I wrote in there I still think is accurate. It's an accurate description of what happened in 15, and the things that I see coming in 16 are still the things that I think are important and that the church should take into consideration. One difference is that now St. Paul's will be entering into a season of discernment as you call a new rector. That changes the agenda for 2016 pretty significantly. As I was thinking about this sermon, this is my first sermon to preach since that announcement, I was actually a little covetous for Stephen, because Stephen got the good gospel lesson last week that really would have been perfect for this sermon. The reason I know that is because Saturday week, I was on the phone with my brother-in-law, who you know is a Baptist minister in Virginia, and we were talking about this move, and I was telling him how much I love you as a church and how concerned I am about the future for you all. I want it to all go really well. And he said, well, here's your perfect sermon. So I'm not going to do his whole thing because it was a comedy riff mostly, but I am going to do a little bit of it, and it's based on the gospel lesson from last week, which, to remind you quickly, was the wedding feast at Cana. So it's in John. It's the first miracle that Jesus has in John. He goes to a wedding. He's there. You know this story. They run out of wine. The host is embarrassed. Jesus' mother presses him to service. And he says, what is this? Why is this my problem that they're out of wine? She said, do it. I can imagine she pulled him aside and just kind of chastised him for his bad manners. And then he turned and she said, do what he tells you. And they filled the jars with water. Jesus turns and says, what do we have? We have a lot of water. And of course, then it is turned into wine. Primary point, Jesus is present, amazing things happen. Jesus is present, water is turned to wine. So Jim said this. He said, so your sermon would go like this. Your sermon would be, there was a wedding in town, and Jesus came to the wedding, and there was a group of people from St. Paul's Episcopal Church at the wedding. And they approached Jesus. And they said, Jesus, have you got a minute? We need to talk to you. We just found out that our rector is moving away, and we're a little bit worried about that, and we need your help. Jesus said to them, why is this my problem? And Jesus' mother grabbed him by the elbow and pulled him aside and chastised him for his bad manners. And then she looked at the people from St. Paul's and said, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus came back, and he said, okay, well, what do we have to work with? Show me what we have. What are in the jars? And what he saw was amazing. What he saw was a church that's been around for over 130 years and who has a little bit of practice calling rectors. What he saw was a group of people who had an incredibly gifted vestry and group of leaders who were ready for the task. What he saw was a really committed, cohesive group of staff members who love each other and who love the work that they are being given to do. Great, while youngly ordained, not young people, people with great life experience in the priesthood who are ready to lead. What he saw was incredible children's ministry, incredible outreach ministry, and incredible worship and fellowship. What he saw was a vibrant day school where things were going really well. And they said, well, you know, let's hold on, we got to tell you something about that. So the headmaster's leaving too. Jesus said, oh, well, that's kind of a big deal. But again, what do we have? We have 160 plus kids in that school and all of their families. and then great staff, great teachers, a great ministry that's going on. And as Jesus was talking to the visitors from St. Paul's, what they noticed was what they saw as water was turning into wine because Jesus was present. Jesus is always present in the church, and Jesus is present with me and my family as we prepare to go to Austin. And I trust that Jesus is present even in Austin. We will see. And Jesus is present here and has never not been present here. And now I can turn my attention away from last week's gospel lesson and actually think about this week's letter from Paul. Because in that letter, he is talking about the church. I think it's very interesting and convenient that the lectionary coincides with the annual parish meeting so nicely. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church in Corinth, and it's a new church. They're having conflict from the outside, to some pressures, cultural pressures. There's some internal pressures. They're no longer considered part of the synagogue, and now they have to figure out their own life. And Paul's not there. He's writing them a letter. So he's talking to them, and he talks to them about the church as the body of Christ. Now, he was not the first person to come up with the body image in the politic. It was a great philosophical metaphor that was used regularly long before Paul was writing, that culture and communities, the politic, are like a body. And for a country or a government to run, it has to have all these different parts. But the difference is that the great philosophers did this in order to make sure that the peasants remembered their place and reminded them that the people who are really calling the shots are going to hang out at the head and shoulders. So Paul takes that image and flips it on its head. And he says something very different. He said, you are baptized into Christ, and because of that, you have become part of the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. And then he says that all the gifts and talents that are part of the body of Christ are of equal value. There is no hierarchy in the church as far as whose gifts are most important and most necessary. And then he asked them to consider their role in this. Now, notice this. He does not ask them to consider becoming part of the body of Christ. This is not an evangelical speech that he's giving. He does that all the time in other places where he's speaking to people who are not baptized into the body of Christ yet. But he is speaking to believers. He is speaking to a group of people who have been baptized into the body. And so he does not invite them to be the body of Christ. He simply says you are. Fact. You are baptized. You are part of the body of Christ. Period. It's just who you are. It is your identity. And that has been the case ever since. What changes in your perception of church, especially in the modern world, when you don't think of it as a voluntary organization that you give a little bit of your time to, or a lot of your time to, depending on who you are and how much time you have and what resources you have available? You don't see it as that, but instead see it as part of your body, your actual body, that you are part of something else, whether you like being a part of it or not, whether you voluntarily want to be there. You just are, because you are a baptized member of this body. I think when we see it that way, it changes everything. So I am not inviting you in the year to come to consider becoming a part of this body. I am just quoting Paul and saying, you already are. You are the body of Christ. And the only invitation that's there is for you to become aware of that and then live into that and to be a member of this body. And then to begin to think about all the different gifts and talents that are in this room and all the different gifts and talents that you have that you can bring to the task that lies ahead of you. I have a pretty vague theology of the Holy Spirit, because I think most people's theology of the Holy Spirit is pretty vague. But this I do believe. When the Holy Spirit stirs the pot, It stirs the whole pot. It doesn't just stir a leader out and put him somewhere else. When that stir happens, the whole pot is being stirred. So what I believe lies ahead for you as a congregation is actually a season of real excitement and energy. I mean, we got some work to do between now and then. We've got to cry some together. I can tell you, we've been crying at our house, really quite seriously. Cry about our, because we love each other, we loved you, and we are going to be sad about leaving. So we got some of that work to do. But then the work that's out there for you next can be passion-filled and amazing when you become aware that you are part of this. I think when there's a lot of stability for a long time, we might kind of forget that. We kind of might kind of forget and say, it's doing its thing. You know, the body's just doing its thing, and it's okay. But when there's a change like this, we become aware that we are part of something. So what I expect will happen in 2016 is your average Sunday attendance will actually increase as more people wake up to the fact that they are part of the body of Christ and their presence is really important. And as you all strive together to make it a healthy, thriving, wholesome body, I expect the energy level will go up. I expect you will become more aware of the great work that God is calling you to do. And every week and every month, as that process continues and as that pot continues to be stirred, you will see something amazing happen. You will see water turn into wine right before your very eyes, because Jesus is present. And when Jesus is present, amazing things happen to the body of Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.